I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
If you know who I am, then you're going to know that I work at the Stanford Inn and Resort. We just did a recent name change, and that's it. Stanford Inn and Resort. Isn't that elegant? This is not an ad. I'm saying that I got permission. This is a great day for me, okay? Offhandedly, I said to Jeff Stanford, the owner, I said, God, I'd love to talk about this email we got. And he goes, yeah, you can talk about it. I go, I can talk about it on the podcast? He goes, yeah, go ahead. I go, oh. I mean, just like flittering my hands together like a little kid at Christmas. We got a two-page. Now, this is an informal study that I'm going to reference right now. It seems to me that the level of crazy is increasing. I have no data to support that. I have no statistics. See how I did that? Because this episode, I'm going to touch on statistics, but more on that later. It seems to me that the level of crazy is going up. And we tend to forget about the reviews because that's whatever. That's the new world. I have a voice. I'm not going to just not go to this place anymore. I'm going to let everybody know to make sure that nobody gets to have another opinion besides mine because I'm the authority, but neither here nor there. We get these long emails, like two pages. They spend a lot of time of their own, I'm assuming valuable time, but I don't know. Maybe not. But they craft these emails and they're punctuated and capitalized. Like they're taking time here. They're editing is my guess. Two pages of emails about all the things that we're doing wrong. And they're mildly entertaining sometimes. Sometimes they have tidbits of value and we go, okay, that's relevant. One point of the 72 nutty nut points. One point, we'll take that one and we'll change the lighting in the whatever. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. We sort of like pick the things that are of that a normal person would say, and then we just discard the crazy. So, okay, fine. So, but we get these long emails. Here's the one. I've been there 13 years, Jeff and Joan, 39 years at the Stanford, and they've owned the Stanford. This is the best, in my opinion, this is the best email we've gotten. I'm not going to read the email because I frankly don't have the time. And honestly, it's so long that I read War and Peace before I finished the email, reading this email. But I'll leave you with the highlights that are so fantastic that somebody would say, not only did they do these things, but then they said, I'm going to put these in writing. I'm going to actually put them in writing. A guest was so angry at the fact that our room was just insufferably hot. Now, I live on the northern coast of California, Mendocino Coast. There's no insufferably hot here. I mean, it's just not. Now, maybe his room was a little bit warm, and maybe by mistake he turned the heater on. I don't even know. But there's air conditioners, and I don't even know how that happened. But okay, neither here nor there. First thing he complained about was it was super hot. Then he said the bed was shaky. He made two references to the bed being shaky. We tested it later. Bed's fine, but whatever. The bed was shaky. Here's what's funny about that is I'm not kidding, an earthquake scientist, which is about one of the more funny things I've ever heard. So twice he said the bed is shaky, and I'm going, maybe that's just kind of your thing. You are sensitive to shaky, and that's your job. You know, like I'm sensitive to protein powder. You know, like it's that kind of thing. Okay, so but that's not even the best part. Okay, that's nothing. But the room is so hot, he can't share the bed because the bed's shaky. So he goes to the couch that is a fold-out couch that we don't recommend for adults. He takes the mattress out of that and puts it on the floor. That was a miserable night anyway. The next night, because still hot. The next night, he decides to, because it's still too hot. I don't know what his wife's doing. I guess she's totally fine with this climate, but whatever. But he pulls this little portable mattress onto the balcony of a Four Diamond Inn, onto the balcony, because that's the only place he can survive a night. That's not even the best part. Then he says in writing that animals started to, and we have raccoons and there's animals around. It's fine. But he's on a balcony. So, okay, but whatever. He a private one with a rail. He says that animals came over and they were cornering him. He felt threatened and like they were going to attack. And so, and that's not funny because if that happened, but here's what he did at a Florida. He marked the balcony. Now, by marked, I hope most people who are listening to this know where I'm getting at, but let's just go right to the truth. He peed on the balcony. He urinated on the balcony. He said three different areas, three drops, just to mark his territory because he didn't want the animals to attack him while he was sleeping on a portable mattress on the balcony of a resort. He marked the balcony. I was like, this is the best email we've gotten, hands down. We've got some doozies. I mean, I'm not saying that. If you read the breadth and scope of the emails we've received over the years, this one is the best, in my opinion. As if that weren't enough, he finished the email angry that, ready? That we force people who want to eat meat to go into town, but because he wanted to go into town and eat meat, which we don't force people, that's their prerogative, and they often do. But he wanted to have a glass of wine with his wife and didn't want to drive, and so we forced him to go walk across the treacherous bridge that goes over the balcony that I run over all the time. And it's not, look, I don't love running across the bridge. I'm not saying that, and I wouldn't do it at night. But Nutty Nut Nut, I don't even want to disrespect Nutty Nut Nut. He's mad that we forced him to go across the bridge to go into town to eat meat because he wanted to have a glass of wine too. And we shouldn't force people to do that. It's dangerous. Why would we put people in danger like that? To force them to eat meat, put them in danger. It's crazy. My fear, and I'm trying to see the comedy in this because it just is just so funny. But then I think funny in the moment, not funny if this is the trend. Not funny if this is the trend of humanity where we're getting so effing crazy that we're just letting it all hang out and that we just want to put it in writing because that's what we do now. We have a voice that's equal to everybody else's voice. We don't have to earn that voice. I've talked about this in this podcast, right? Okay. You know I have. So thank you for permitting me to share that with you. I'm not going to mention names. That would be crazy. But if you're going to put it in writing, don't get pissed that people are going to share it and that it's in writing from now on. Okay? He didn't say, please do not share this. That's all I'm saying. Okay? And be careful when you write an email like that to me about how you piss on something that I own, because I'll probably talk about it. I'm just saying that. I just want to put the rules out there right now. Like people, and I just want to send a thank you to the people who support me on Patreon, the Patreoners. Love you guys. But if you peed on something of mine, I would probably talk about it just because it's funny. I mean, if you peed on something of mine, I would think it was funny. Mm. For those of you who follow my race, and I don't do announcements in this podcast. I'm just saying I got the green light on it, which I'm excited about. Okay, so I'm going to get to do the fifth year of the ultra marathon I direct. Fifth year. Is that excellent? It is for me. So I spoke at the California Veg Food Fest last Saturday. Jeff and I went down there, and I did a little co-panel thingamajig. Co-presentation, wasn't a panel. Co-presentation with this woman, very nice. And she runs a food program, making food for kids, like pre-packaged stuff. Very lovely person. And I think we did a good job. We answered some questions. We did not agree on everything, but that's okay, right? That's the civility of it. And she said, thank you. It was nice to hear your perspective. And I said, back at you. But she talked about that people want to know what we feed our kids. And she talked about, you know, the corn dogs, the vegan corn dogs and the fake meat kinds of things. And I said, look, I can't sit up here in good conscience and say that I feed my kids that regularly because it's literal junk food. And I think that might have ruffled her feathers a little bit because I think she does prepack. I don't know. She's great. Cute kid, great family. But I can't, obviously, if you guys know where I stand nutritionally, I can't stand behind that. I'm a low protein nutritionist, number one. Number two, certainly not junk food protein, which is anything extracted, whether it's added sugar, added oil, or added protein powders or brown rice. Impossible burgers are freaking disgusting, okay? I mean, they taste fine, but they're nutritionally, hello, right? Good. Just hammering it home because people, you know, this is sort of the move of the next wave of vegan culinary is like all the, so the burger tastes exactly like, okay, I've talked about it before. Like, so what if it doesn't? You know what I mean? Okay. I'm not going to belabor that here. You go back to old episodes, you can hear that. Anyway, so this guy comes up to I did my talk and then Jeff and I are manning the Stanford Inn table. And this guy comes up and he asked me about my book, Approaching the Natural, that one. And he goes, oh, so what's a, I said, it's my philosophy of health. I came the kind of the 2-second elevator thing. Like, here's what you did. And he goes, well, what is there anything like spiritual in it? And I said, well, there is. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, like blatantly spiritual. Like, it's definitely not religious, but there's a certain spirituality to it. I definitely talk about getting in touch and understanding who you are. If you have spiritual leanings, you're going to understand that if you believe in God, for instance, you can easily make the very, very teeny, it's not even a jump, it's like just walking over a small little stream of water to say, if you believe God created everybody, then my argument is if by that logic, if you would want to take as best care of your body as possible, if this was created and put on the earth for any kind of reason that somebody's telling you from the outside, like this is the reason you're here, you'd want to take care of this body. That's where I go. Okay. But spirituality wise, it's individual. It's between you and whatever you believe in that. And that's where it should stop. Religion, there's never good that comes out of it, in my opinion. I don't want to say never good. In general, I heard it referred to recently as religion as divisive mythology. And I think that's a pretty nailed down thing. No matter what, if you say I'm this religion and you're that religion, there's going to be a we're the ones that are chosen, or we're the ones that are going and you're not. And that just gets away from, guess what? The frickin' ideas and the values that can be very useful and beautiful and profound and positive and peaceful and compassionate. We get away from that because we go, well, my club is better than your club, FYI. Okay. But neither here nor there. I said, if God is in everyone, then it would seem to be, you know. And so I said, look, I showed him my bracelet. I wear a WWID bracelet. I said, you know what WWID stands for? It stands for what would I do? Meaning, if you really understand and do the thinking, you and know where what you stand for, it's simply a matter of reminding, being in a place where you're aware and present and reminding yourself enough of the things that you stand for so that your behavior is more reflective of that day to day than not. Not perfection, but more often than not, you're acting in a way that's reflective of you. That's all I'm saying. And you can make that leap that's God in you, and that's fine if that floats your boat. This was not happy. He was not happy with this. He was, no, I'm, what would Jesus do? I'm born again. And there we go. The device is, he can't agree with me because he has a religion that he has to be that thing, and I'm not that thing, and so therefore one of us is going to. Meanwhile, you know, he's got a history of drug addiction and alcohol. And I said, God, I didn't say this to him. I was like, gosh, what a shocker! A person who's come from a background of addiction becoming a born again. I've never heard that happen before. All I'm going to say is this: giving yourself over completely to a higher power, it may serve a short-term end to you to sort of allow yourself to admit that you need help, and I'm all for that. You know that I'm all for that. Okay. But to me, I still don't think you're giving yourself over. I don't think that's possible. I don't think it's possible to hand yourself over. I think that what that is a reflection of you. If you're able to just say, tell me what to do, I think that's a tricky road to go on. I think it's a tricky road. I think it's maybe initially get you out of a hole, but eventually you're going to have to be accountable and acknowledge what it is you stand for and have the strength and courage, or not, but try to live on your terms that way. But you have to define it. If you hand something over, then it's a roll of the dice to whom you hand it over. I mean, you hand it over to this guru who's going to make you into a crazy person, and this guru is going to make you into a violent person. I have no idea. Don't hand yourself over to somebody. Get guidance, use it, incorporate it, take it, live it, do the work to be those things. But to just go, whatever you, it's a fine place to start. But ultimately, your happiness and health will be you figuring out how to think and act for yourself. Sorry, but that's freaking true. And that's what it is. And that's what he's nutty nut. That's why a guy like that cannot come to a table and have a intelligent conversation about ideas that, guess what, we probably agree on. But you can't do that when you have a label that prevents you from having an intelligent discussion with somebody else because they don't share the label that you share with. It is WWID versus WWJD. WWID wins every time. Sorry, but it does. You know why? Because I'm setting the rules, because this is my podcast. It may not win in real life. But really, what's real life? I mean, really? Don't we have enough real life? So then at the event, and this is podcast is, it's about this, but it was inspired by the event. You know, I just kind of, this is what I think. Come here, just go, what do I think this week or every whatever? This statistic. So I, in the past podcast, would have probably not mentioned this stuff because I tended to care about these things a little bit more and I was a little more diplomatic. I don't give a shit anymore. And the reason is because, well, there's one reason, because this subject is so important to me that for me to walk on eggshells, and I even did an episode on that, didn't I? I'm asking you, did I? It is so important to me. Health and happiness is so important to me that for me to walk on eggshells means that I don't get to actually say the things that I think will help move this subject along the best way possible. If I'm going to be a voice at all, and look, I'm a small voice. I get it. I know it. But if I'm going to be a voice at all, I've got to be an actual voice. Otherwise, then I'm fully, I'm not a big voice, but I'm wasting my time with the little voice that I have. I mean, I don't want to do that. So Michael Greger is one of the speakers there. Okay. And he was speaking in the same stage that I was for a while. And I'll tell you why. So Greger shows up and he's the rock star. I get it. I'm not jealous. Okay. Cause he's got the same hairline I have. We're good. We're on even terms. Okay. Now the fact that his book sold copies means that it did better than mine. And look, again, no jealousy there, Mike. I've met him a few times, but he just walk by me like I'm nothing. Like he just never seen me before. Because he's a rock star. I get it. He's a rock star in the plant, in the vegan world. I'm not sure I'd even want to be a rock star. I'm a rock star in the vegan world. It sort of takes the air right out of those tires, doesn't it? Anyway, he shows up and he goes to the thing upstairs to where the big stage was. And he starts to, everyone shows up there and there's a lot of people. And all of a sudden they start leaving all the people. I go, what's going on? Because Jeff and I are at the table. What's going on? And then the organizers who I know, and because they do the same one in New York, and I've spoken there about four times, and so I'm very familiar with them. And they go, well, he wasn't happy with the AV setup. He's a rock star, right? I don't like it. They said, even though we told him exactly what was there, the monitors, the microphones, the whole thing, they gave him the whole shebang. Here's what it is. But no, so 150, 200 people have to get up from their chairs and walk to a theater that is like three quarters of the size of the area that he was speaking at. So now everyone's crowded in, uncomfortable, sitting on the floor because this jackoff, sorry, I know, right? It's a good book, How Not to Die. It's fine, you know, whatever. But so he starts doing his talk. And I'm back and forth. I'm kind of, Jeff, I'm going to go listen to a little bit and then I come back and I kind of go. And it is another one of those talks that I have made fun of, and not just from him, but the big guys in the world, Furman, McDougall, Esselstyn, they bore the living shit out of me. And it's not, I know this stuff, so it's fine. Maybe that's why I'm bored, but boy, they packed the houses. And I know why. I totally know why. Because people, that is a more accessible subject, statistics is what I'm getting at. Charts and graphs are a much more accessible topic than ideas, than philosophy, than ethics, than morality, than awareness, than action. It is not as exciting. And I've said that from small steps. Boring, effective, more effective, but boring. But I listen to these things and it's sort of like, you know, I get the kind of, you know, in this talk, it was like, people who until they're age 60 in the United States have high blood pressure. Is that because they are eating badly or because they're just reaching 60? Maybe it's a function of age or not. Turns out in Kenya, where people eat legumes and fruits and vegetables and whole grains and nuts and seeds, by the time they reach age 60, their blood pressure goes down. And I've already fallen asleep and woken up seven times. At some point soon, and I really, really hope this to be true, at some point soon we will say, okay, the research is in. The research is in. Can you be really, really healthy on the paleo diet? Yes, you can be very, very healthy on the paleo diet if you eat mostly the stuff that's healthy and not as much of the stuff that's not healthy. I mean, I'm having a single malt scotch right now, and I've told you guys from the day one of my old podcast, I talk about this. I don't have to, but it's rare that I find somebody who is healthy and happy trying to be militant about never having something less than healthy. I don't see that. I see so many people now, I'm on the SOS, no salt, no oil, no sugar, totally unhealthy. And I'm like, well, what have I talked about in this podcast? Is it working for you? Ask that question. Is it working for you? Because you can subscribe to somebody else's philosophy, somebody else's, here's what you do and do this and do that. But if it doesn't work for you, I mean, when are you going to ask that question to say if it does not work for you? Ultimately, that's the goal of these moves that we make in this arena, isn't it? to be healthier and happier, but I think that gets lost in the plethora of charts and graphs and just this pie chart and that statistic and this heart disease and level and this statistic. And it's like, and everyone packs it. And I'm not quite sure why, because I think, I know that these people, this isn't their first lecture. I mean, maybe that's a great endpoint if that's your first thing. Oh boy, the statistics are overwhelming. That's amazing. But at some point, we sort of need to go like, the research is in. Can you be wildly healthy on a whole plant-based diet? Absolutely. Can you be really healthy on other slightly varied diets that are not totally 100%? Yes. But can you on a whole plant? Yes, absolutely. So then what is it? What's left? What is left? It's my main problem with the new info and plant-based info. For regular folks, people who are living lives of comparative normalcy in the world, like I've said before, commutes and children and jobs and stress and financial stress, overwhelming people with statistics it's too much and it's too confusing. I'll put it that way. For everyday folks, statistics are too much and too confusing. They're nothing that we can remember. And even if we wanted to remember them, then what are we going to be when we go to the next person and go, do you know the 1 in 7,500 people have less heart disease when they're on? And the other person goes, woo, like, holy geez, Louise, can I go get a cheese pizza? Because you just freaked me out with too many numbers. Okay? That's why the title of this episode is 1 in 4 think statistics suck. Because they do. Look, they don't suck. They're great. Research is great, obviously. But at some point, if we individually, the scientists keep doing the research, do it. But if the regular folks of us do not move on to the ideas, the philosophy, to the ethics, to the morality, I think ultimately people do want simplicity. And I think ultimately people respond with ideas. They respond to ideas. They like, this is a guess, but maybe I'm 100% wrong because people are flocking to hear more statistics. But like as if they need more convincing. And I go, well, how much longer is it going to take? I mean, how much longer is it going to take before you're convinced? Then what's left? Here's what's left. Will you do it or not? Will you do it or not? Once you have that information, will you do it? And I'll go one step further. Can you do it? Because that has nothing to do with statistics. That has to do with, guess what? Personal freaking accountability and responsibility and strength of character and courage to take on something new that you weren't doing before. That's harder to do. It is much easier to stay with the status quo, to define yourself by how you've been behaving. I'm this, I just eat this way. I'm an angry, I'm this, I'm a binger, okay. To take on something new, to become more of who you are, to live more on your terms takes courage. Why? Because it's more stressful. Because it is. So go to another lecture on more statistics, or finally go, yeah, I saw one lecture one time, but now I really got to get boots on the ground here and figure out actually how to become a healthier, happier person. That's philosophy. That's ethics. That's morality. That's thought. That's meditation, not in the way of sitting on a freaking pillow saying om, but directed thought, as Jeff would tell me. That's kind of his thing. Directed thought. Thought. Conscious. Deep. Questioning thought. That is well beyond any lecture that you're going to watch and or listen to about protein or about statistics of heart disease on a plant-based diet or stroke or cancer or Alzheimer's or any of the itises. This is so far beyond that stuff and way more important than that stuff. Okay? All right? So Mikey, stop with the statistics. Days on the rocks, I just wanna row. Stuck on a vision and all that it holds. So much to lose and so far to be home. Then I love you for once and you love me tenfold. Yes, I love you for once and you love me tenfold. Put away it all. put away it out. It ain't us, I can't remember at all. It ain't us, but we can't remember at all. Seems it's unraveling and we're chasing the cold. We could be walking, seems we relish the crowd. We will go the distance, will we ever fall? Yet I love you for once and you love me tenfold. Yes, I love you for once and you love me tenfold. Put away it out. Put away it out. It ain't us, can't remember at all. It ain't us, but we can't remember at all. I love you for once, and you love me tenfold. I love you for once, and you love me tenfold. Yes, I love you for once, and you love me tenfold. Yes, I love you for once, and you love me tenfold. Yeah, I love you for once, and you love me tenfold. Yes, I love you for once, and you love me tenfold.